I, again, have a problem with that because when you look at Ezekiel 38 and verse 8 and also verse 11, it talks about Israel dwelling in security and peace. Is that what's happening today? Is Israel dwelling in security and peace? I don't think so. That green area represents Islamic countries. And that tiny little dot there represents the nation of Israel. I don't think Israel will ever enjoy security or peace in this world until, first of all, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, rules and reigns from David's throne. And before that, she will enjoy a season of false peace when the Antichrist enters into a treaty with her, and that's what will begin the 7-year tribulation period. Those are the only two times of peace that I know of for Israel. Until those times arise, it's hard for me to imagine this battle taking place before either of those events. When you look at Ezekiel 38, verses 18 and 19, for example, it says this, "It will come about on that day when Gog comes against the land of Israel, declares the Lord God, that my fury," look at that word there, "fury, will mount up in my anger, my zeal, and in my blazing wrath." This is talking about here in Ezekiel 38 and 39, a time period when God pours out His wrath on planet Earth. Is that happening today? No, it's not. The time in history where God pours out His wrath is the 7-year tribulation period itself. So it's very difficult for me, despite the popularity of The View, despite the fact that there are a number of very prominent theologians whose names you all know, arguing that this is something that happens before the tribulation period. It's difficult for me to believe that for the reasons that I have stated. So I think the view that gets closest to the truth of these views that I have here, without getting to what I think is the completely correct view, is the second from the last one, that this is a battle that will take place in the first half of the tribulation period. Why would I say that? I say that because Ezekiel 38 and verse 8 and verse 11 very clearly indicate that this battle takes place when Israel is dwelling in safety. The only time period that I can think of when Israel is dwelling in security and safety outside the millennial kingdom itself is the time period of false peace, where the Antichrist arises and enters into a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. The book of Daniel, chapter 9 and verse 27, describes that peace treaty. You'll also see references to it in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verse 3, where Paul the Apostle writes, "While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape." This is talking about a time period after the opening of the first seal judgment. Do you recall what happens when the first seal judgment is opened? We have a rider on the white horse. Revelation 6, verses 1 through 4 says, "Then I saw the Lamb broke one of the 7 seals, and I heard of the 4 living creatures saying, as with a loud voice, 'Come.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he broke the 2nd seal, I heard the 2nd living creature saying, 'Come.' And another red horse went out to him who sat on it, and it was granted to him to take peace from the earth, and that men might slay one another, and a great sword was given to them." See, seal number 1 is the rider on the white horse bringing a false peace. I believe that's the Antichrist. The 2nd seal is peace is taken from the earth, and a global war seems to break out. Because Ezekiel 38 and verse 8 and verse 11 indicates that this battle takes place during a time period of temporary peace, I have to place it somewhere at the beginning of the tribulation period itself, consistent with Daniel 9:27, 1 Thessalonians 5:3, and the opening of the first seal judgment. But having said that, we have problems with this, don't we? For one thing, as this battle unfolds, Israel, as the end product, will be converted. For example, notice, if you will, Ezekiel 39 and verse 29, very end of the chapter. It says, I will not hide my face from them any longer, for I will have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the Lord. Israel, as a result of this battle, is converted. Now, the best I understand Israel's conversion is not something that takes place in the beginning of the tribulation. It's something that takes place at the end of the tribulation period. I have this quote here from Charles Feinberg, who interprets those verses I just read as follows. They teach the complete return of Israel will occur after the defeat of Gog and his confederates. Ezekiel summarized his prophecies of hope and restoration when he stated that God will have mercy upon the whole house of Israel. He had in mind that all previous restorations were partial. Now a universal and final restoration will take place. It was God who allowed them to go into captivity. It is He who will see to it that they are regathered. Indeed, it is He who will ensure that not one is left out of the land. In conclusion, to summarize all of the benefits promised, Ezekiel spoke of the outpouring of the Spirit upon the house of Israel in the end. What it's talking about is a total conversion of the nation. That is something that, to my mind, happens at the end of the tribulation, not at the beginning. And beyond that, when you look down at Ezekiel 39, verses 4 and 5, and also Ezekiel 39, verses 17 through 20, it talks about so many dead people that the vultures will come and gorge themselves on the corpses of the deceased. As you study that imagery through the Scripture, what you'll discover is that is not an event that takes place in the beginning of the tribulation. Certainly it's not an event that takes place before the tribulation starts. It's always associated with the end of the tribulation. You'll find that imagery at the end of the tribulation period in Matthew 24, verses 27 and 28. And you'll see that imagery as Jesus Christ is coming back on a white horse. Revelation 19, verses 17 and 18. What am I trying to get at here exactly? What I'm trying to get at is I'm very, very drawn to the second to last view, but at the same time it has some problems. What are the problems? Ezekiel 39 is the problem. Ezekiel 39 is describing things that happen not in the first half of the tribulation period, but at the end of the tribulation period. So, all of that to say, what in the world then is the correct view of this? Well, in the biblical text, we have at least six clues, don't we? First of all, we know that this will take place in what is called the restoration section of the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, as you might know, has three parts to it. Chapters 1 through 24 is God's judgment on Judah, prophecies related to that. Chapters 25 through 32 is God's judgment on the surrounding nations. Chapters 33 through 48 are prophecies of restoration. The book of Ezekiel basically has three parts to it. Chapters 1 through 24 is counterbalanced with chapters 33 through 48. The two sections are symmetrical. In that first section, Ezekiel is commissioned to preach judgment. His mouth is closed unless God opens it. But in that final section, Ezekiel's mouth is opened. He's recommissioned to preach blessings. And just as the Shekinah glory of God departed from the temple in the first section, the Shekinah glory of God returns to the temple in that last section. And the fulcrum, which balances those two halves, is chapters 25 through 32, which is Ezekiel's judgment on the surrounding nations. What's my point? Chapters 38 and 39 occur in that third section, along with prophecies about the temple, prophecies about the division of the land in the millennium amongst the 12 tribes. So therefore, this prophecy has to be something completely future because of the context of where it's found.